And this period of time, we have the theme of the Noble Eightfold Path. And last week, I talked about the kind of the overview of the path, mostly in terms of how it promotes wholesomeness and I want to say get rid of unwholesomeness, but that might not be the right word. we're trying to work with unwholesomeness so that our lives become more and more wholesome, and less unwholesome, more and more skillful and less unskillful. And so there are 8 steps on the path. It's the Noble Eightfold Path, or 8 path factors, sometimes called. And if we walk this path, it basically helps us to move towards happiness in our lives and moves away from suffering. And so these 8 path factors are divided into 3 categories. I also mentioned that last week. And the first 2 steps of the path form the first category, the wisdom category. These are called wise view and wise intention. Then the middle 3 steps of the path are the ethics or virtue aspects. These are wise speech, wise action, and wise livelihood. And then the last 3 steps of the path are the cultivation or the meditation aspects of the path. Wise effort, wise mindfulness, and wise concentration. I'm saying wise, but sometimes the translation is right concentration, right mindfulness. Depends a little on the teacher. And so last week I spoke about mostly the ethics or virtue category, and also a little bit about the wisdom category. And I remember that I also once gave a talk on the whole Noble Eightfold Path, each step, like a little summary of each step. So that's also, both of those are on the website. And I remember from that time that I gave a little summary on each step, that there was a lively discussion afterwards about the step of wise livelihood. So I thought I'd want to go into that tonight. I'll try to keep it somewhat brief, even though I think I have enough notes for about half an hour. But I'll try to make maybe, I'll aim for 15 minutes or so from this point on. And then hopefully you'll have enough time for some discussion around it, because it's really an interesting topic. And so I want to start with a famous sutta that is often referred to when talking about wise or right livelihood, and where the Buddha lists 5 occupations that the Buddha discourages us to get involved in. He says, practitioners, a lay follower should not engage in these 5 trades. What 5? Trade in weapons, living creatures, meat, intoxicants, and poisons. A lay follower should not engage in these 5 trades. And so this is a pretty clear statement of what we're not supposed to do. And it gives us a little bit of information on, like, okay, no trade in these 5 things. Weapons kind of speaks for itself, I think. And maybe we can also think of, you know, trades that make weapons or that are engaged in the development of weapons. Then the trade in living creatures can be very broad. Like, what if you work in like a pet shop? You know, you're trading in living creatures, basically. So it's really interesting, you know, to see how these categories already start to affect things that we think are pretty harmless. Yeah, it's interesting. Why would it be unethical to trade, in little, you know, bunnies or fish, or, you know, or even like if you breed dogs or other pets? So, it might be interesting to think about, like, what if you think about trading in pigs or cows, it might start to feel a little less ethical already, right? So we can see that there's kind of this gray area, this scale of like, how does this work? And why we can think about why does the Buddha encourages us not to trade in creatures? And there might be the situation that back in the day when he lived, that it was a little different, that they might not have had like pet stores, you know, where they took care of the animals really well, or that kind of thing. So, you know, we can also take that kind of thing into account. Like, what is it like in our era, and what was it like when he lived? And so then trading in meat, the third of occupation that he discourages. And since it's unwholesome to kill, that's one of the five precepts that I talked about last week. One of them is refrain from killing any living being. And so, you know, it might make sense to also not engage then in the trade of meat, because that, you know, you need to kill to be able to trade in meat. So, and there are, you know, a lot of like nuances here too. Like, what about working in a grocery store? There's like meat being sold there, right? So that already, or in a restaurant, or, you know, that leaves out so many options for us to work, basically. So it's, there's so many like examples of how these on first sight very simple guidelines can bring us into trouble in our modern day lives. And so there's no clear-cut answer that will solve these ethical dilemmas. So we can kind of see these ethical dilemmas of not trading in meat or not trading in living creatures. And then the fourth trade is trading in intoxicants. Same story. What if you work in a supermarket or in a restaurant? So, and we can also here see this parallel with the five precepts. The fifth one is to not have any intoxicants like alcohol or drugs, not to engage in that. And so, so it's really interesting to me to see those edge cases of working in a restaurant or in a bar, or working in a supermarket, and to really see that these encouragements are not as clear-cut as they might seem at first glance. And then the last trait is poisons. And it might be somewhat logical, because poison causes us harm. Now, we don't want to trade in something that causes us harm. But there might be edge cases too. What about poisons that might also be a cure, like a medicine? Or if you need to trade in that poison for medical research or something like that, you know, that's those kind of things. And so I'm kind of leaving you hanging here with these edge cases, because I want to first look at a different sutta or discourse where the Buddha gives a different description of wrong livelihood. And here he says, and so what is wrong livelihood? Deceit, flattery, hinting and belittling, and using material possessions to chase after other material possessions. That is wrong livelihood. So this is a very different kind of description. More like these kind of, character traits almost, except for the using material possessions to chase after material possessions, but the deceit, flattery, hinting, and belittling kind of like might be more character traits. And so when we look at our own lives, and right livelihood or wise livelihood can really also be about our hobbies or anything we do in our daily lives. It doesn't have to be like only our profession. Like, it's really about all aspects of life that we can incorporate here. And so if we look at that, like all these aspects, do we engage in any of those behaviors? Maybe you sometimes deceive others. Maybe you flatter others, or use hints to get something done in a certain way. And Maybe you try to flatter your boss in order to get a promotion, or you belittle someone to make yourself look good, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so really starting to see those traits and honestly look at them, and because if we don't see them in ourselves, then how are we ever going to change it, right? So we first need to see it and open to it and acknowledge it for ourselves, even though it's hard to acknowledge, okay, I'm a belittling person or something, you know. But it's worthwhile to do, like I said earlier in the with the sharing, like sometimes it's not pleasant, but it's worthwhile to do it, to look at it, to investigate. And so maybe you can see all these reflections so far kind of point to this underpinning of wholesomeness versus unwholesomeness. Is our life pointing in a direction of wholesomeness? Is it skillful? Is it leading to more happiness and goodness in the world? Or is it actually leading to more harm? Is it unwholesome? So that's kind of a very general tendency of the whole of the Eightfold Path that I talked about last week. So this is one way of looking at our lives in terms of wholesome versus unwholesome, in terms of working towards happiness, working towards suffering. And so in that same sutta that he about the belittling and stuff, he also talks about what is right livelihood or wise livelihood. And there he says it's twofold. There's wise livelihood that's accompanied by defilements. Defilements are basically everything that's unwholesome. And then, so there's wise livelihood accompanied by defilements, has the attributes of good deeds and ripens in attachment. And there's the wise livelihood that is noble, undefiled, transcendent, a factor of the path. And so I really like this description, because the Buddha is pointing to two types of this wise livelihood. One that is defiled or has unwholesome aspects in it, and one that is completely transcendent, free of any unwholesomeness, any defilements. And the beauty is that the Buddha acknowledges that we are not fully awakened and we will have defiled, so to speak. This kind of this the translation that a lot of scholars use, defilement, but it's kind of a nasty word, but this unwholesomeness. And so the beauty is that the Buddha acknowledges that we all have that in us, and it's not gonna be any different, you know, anytime soon probably. So to really acknowledge, okay, our choices are gonna be informed partly by this unwholesomeness, and that's okay. It's, you know, we're trying to strive for as much wholesomeness as we can. So it's not like trying to like saying that it's okay to harm or to do wrong, but it's about that we can be able to open ourselves to this unwholesomeness and to the less maybe skillful parts in ourselves. Because if we try to be perfect, we are going to skip over the unwholesome and unperfect parts, and we won't be able to open to it and learn from it and grow from it. So that's really a necessary step in this whole process of working towards less and less unwholesomeness, basically. And so I kind of interpret this as a letting go of perfectionism. And so we just do our best to keep those defilements in check as much as we can, and to aspire to this wholesome and virtuous life as much as we can. And but for, you know, those of us who have these perfectionist tendencies, which maybe a lot of us, it might be very useful to lighten up on that aspect a little bit, this sutta passage. And so I think that those this knowledge about this defiled form of wise livelihood, so to speak, you know, can help us to shed some light on those ethical questions that I was leaving you hanging with. So those, like, those trade in weapons or intoxicants or living creatures. Like when we work in that supermarket, you know, or we work in the restaurant, we probably don't have the intention to do harm. So we can look at that. What is our intention here in this job, in this, or in this, whatever we're doing? It can be a hobby or something else too. Is it actually to harm, or is it actually to be unskillful? Is it actually to live an unwholesome life? Probably not for most of us. It's probably gonna be like, I actually just wanna make money and I need to take care of my family or of myself. And you know, it's just very simple. And I once saw this documentary where this Buddhist guy in the Himalayas was being interviewed. And he is a devout Buddhist, and he shared with the interviewer that he had to kill. He was hunting. He needed to kill living beings. He needed to hunt to feed his family because there's no job, no work there. So that was basically their source, one of their sources for food. So this is what we all have to deal with. We have to make decisions based on our personal circumstances. That might not always be the top ethical decision that we can make, but it might be the decision that that we need to make for our family, for our own life. So it's always kind of it's going to be a trade-off. It's never going to be 100% as long as we're not fully enlightened, probably. And so, I think I'll leave it at that, since I actually went over time already, I think. So maybe I'll end with a quote from one of my other teachers, Sayadaw Utejaniya, Burmese monk. He says, "Be sure to recognize that when you recognize something unwholesome, that the very recognition that there is something unwholesome is itself wholesome."